while we will not always understand the ways of God now, and we won't, He will ultimately prove Himself worthy of our faith and our praise now.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Folks, it is not a secret that we live in a world in which there is great pain and suffering, starvation, violence, natural disasters, crime. And Christians are not exempt from these things. Just saw an article. As you know, we prayed last week and took up that offering for earthquake relief in Nepal. And here was an article in Christianity Today that spoke of the effect of that earthquake on many of the people there, including Christians, and how many were killed in that, including churches that when it struck, it was a time when people were in worship hours on Sunday morning and in buildings, entire buildings, churches collapsing and killing people in there worshiping God. So you might look at that. Here's a story of one woman in Kathmandu who was gathered in her church for a noon prayer meeting when the earthquake occurred then. But listen to what she says. She says, "In God's time, anything can happen," the 55-year-old mother told Christianity Today. Tamang lost her husband, Myla, her sister, and three other family members when Vision of Salvation and Church, which rented rooms in a four-story commercial building in Nepal's capital, collapsed with 62 worshipers present. 17 members of the church where Tamang's husband served as an elder died, including the pastor, Elia Gale, and his son. And she says, "We cannot decide our future or what happens to us, but even after the world, we will be with God." Now, there's some faith in the midst of very painful and trying circumstances there. So we know of situations like that. We know persecution, of how many daily face death because of their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know of the rise of ISIS and their agenda, the horrible things that they have done and will continue to do for the time being. And we might ask, in all of these things, we say, why? As we reflect on all of these things, our natural impulse is to ask, why? Why? Why, God, why do you allow these things? We might ask questions such as, why is there so much suffering and pain in the world, Lord? Why so much suffering in my life, Lord? Why so much injustice and oppression? Or, Lord, why do evil people prosper? Why don't you do something, God? Do something about this. Why? 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 Well, today, as we continue in our series in the Minor Prophets, we're looking at Habakkuk, which is a dialogue from confusion to faith, when the prophet Habakkuk, he asked these very kinds of questions. He didn't understand. He was looking for answers too, and God spoke to him. And this book is a dialogue with God then, between Habakkuk and God, from confusion to faith. And what I want us to take away from it today is this, that while we will not always understand the ways of God now, and we won't, He will ultimately prove Himself worthy of our faith and our praise now. Total understanding now? No. Is God worthy, though, of our faith and praise now? Yes, He is. Brief introduction to Habakkuk. First of all, somebody's saying, Habakkuk, what's that? I thought it was Habakkuk, or maybe some other thing. This is one of those books that's a little hard to know how to pronounce, but you'll hear both. But I go with Habakkuk, so that's what we're going with today, okay? This book was most likely written around 600 BC to the people of Judah, God's people in Judah, shortly before the Babylonians would invade this nation of God's people, Judah. And the conditions in Judah at the time were terrible. There was much corruption injustice, violence, idolatry, and all of these things greatly grieved the heart of the prophet Habakkuk. He looked about and he saw all of these things, this corruption, the crime, the sin of idolatry. It grieved his righteous heart and said, God, where are you? Do you see what's going on? Do you hear me? Are you going to do something about this? And God answered him. But when God answered him, it actually stirred up more questions then. Have you ever had that experience where you wanted to hear from, you needed to hear from God and you knew God spoke to you, but what you heard just caused you to ask more questions then? But God then did speak to him again in this dialogue. So again, we see this book of Habakkuk, a dialogue between God and Habakkuk. And it moves us from a low place of confusion, despair, anxiety, to a high place of faith, of confidence, and even rejoicing in the Lord, no matter what. That's quite a swing, isn't it? Confusion, anxiety, despair, questions. Why, God? Confidence, rejoicing, no matter what. So let's start in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Do you hear the pain in his voice? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. And so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. Habakkuk is asking, he says, Lord, why are you silent? Do you hear me? Have you ever felt that way? God, do you hear me? Why are you silent, Lord? Why are you slow to act, God? God, I know you can act. I know you can, but why the delay? Why are you waiting? Or Lord, why do you allow the wicked to prevail, to have the upper hand over the righteous, to be free to do the terrible things they do that dishonor you, dishonor your name, and are so destructive to the creation you love? God, why? Do you hear, God? Why do you sit idly by? That's quite a question to ask God, isn't it? See, it seemed as though God couldn't see what was happening in the land. Wickedness, violence seeming to go unchecked. Do you hear me, God? Why don't you do something? Why are you slow to act? Why do you allow wicked people to prosper and prevail? And perhaps you have asked questions like this too. You've wondered why God has been silent. You've wanted God to do something, but it doesn't seem he's acted, at least as far as you can tell. You have experienced pain and suffering that just seems to have no end or no purpose. And you ask, why? Lord, why? These were Habakkuk's questions to God. And listen to see what God says to Habakkuk. God speaking, says, "Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. Why are you silent, God? Why aren't you acting? Do you see? Don't you see? And God answers. And he tells them something that inspired more questions. He says, Habakkuk, I am acting. I am acting. And you would be amazed if told all now. You don't see what I'm doing, but believe I am acting. See, God is not silent. When we are not hearing from him, that doesn't mean he's not acting. He is not silent. He is not indifferent. He is acting. And God tells Habakkuk in his time, in his situation, he says, Habakkuk, all this that you see around you, you want me to act? You want me to judge the nation? Well, I am. I am going to raise up a nation, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. I'm going to raise them up, and I'm going to judge the people, Judah. He's not silent. He's not indifferent to what's going on. And there will be an accounting for this. But if you were Habakkuk, would that might have raised another question in your mind? You see, the Babylonians were horrible, wicked people. We might say, God, do you see what's going on in America? When are you going to act? It's a fearful thing to pray, isn't it? Maybe it says, I am acting. And he might use some actors we don't like. And that's what Habakkuk struggled with. God, I know that your people need judgment, but them? The Babylonians? Why them? They're far worse than we are. Isn't that such a human response? Habakkuk knows the people need discipline, judgment. But them, well, we're not as bad as they are. And you're going to use them. You're going to exalt them and lift them up and give them victory over your people? How can you do such a thing? How can you use such a horrible, wicked people as the Babylonians to discipline us? How can you let such a wicked nation prosper and prevail over your people? Habakkuk says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you look idly? Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? Lord, are you sure you want to go that direction, that route? I mean, I know I've been praying for you to act. I said, where are you, God? Don't be slow. And now you're going to act, but I don't like what you're doing, God. How can you judge your people with a people more wicked than they? You see, Habakkuk didn't understand the ways of God in this matter. And we won't always understand the ways of God in our lives either. And so Habakkuk is told something. First of all, he is told, God tells him that he's going to deal with Babylon in their time too. Okay? He will. And he did. But here's something else the Lord told Habakkuk that I think is important for us to reflect on too. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, the wicked. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Habakkuk, the Lord says, though it seems slow, though you do not understand, wait. Wait for me. You shall live by faith. Wait for it. Patience for God's timing and God's greater purposes. He tells him God would in time deal with Babylon, and he did. But in the meantime, Habakkuk, you shall live by faith. See, it's a decision and a choice that we make, isn't it? Do we want to allow ourselves to be consumed, overwhelmed by circumstance and questions? Or do we choose to trust the character of God to see us through to the end? Trust Him to work out His final and ultimate purposes. Because He will have the final word with all of us, won't He? So in the meantime, as you wait, Habakkuk, as you wait, as you and I wait, the righteous shall live by faith, trust and confidence in God and His purposes, God's character, God's ultimate purposes. Then I want to conclude this section in Habakkuk with this, a wonderful prayer of Habakkuk in chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigonoth. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And as he reflects, Habakkuk does, on what God was going to do, he trembled. Said verse 16, I hear and my body trembles. My lip quivers at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Habakkuk says to the Lord, I will wait quietly, no matter how horrible I feel right now and how disturbing it is. Nevertheless, Lord, I will. These are acts of the will, volition, isn't it? He says, I will wait quietly for you. I will rejoice in you no matter what. You are my strength and my security. No matter what. Let's think about that for just a moment. What he says there in verses 17. He says, though the fig tree not blossom, no fruit on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the fields yield no food, the flock cut off from the fold, no herd in the stalls. This is an agrarian society. Well, we're dependent on agriculture today, aren't we? Of course we are. But especially so in that culture. He is picturing an absolute worst case. Can you imagine a bigger disaster than this? What? There's no food. Nothing's growing. There's no fields. And there's no livestock. There's no animals. It's a desperate situation. And he says, even though that be the case, yet I will do what? I will rejoice in you, Lord. I will rejoice in you. You are the God of my salvation. You make my feet like the deer. You give me security in perilous places. If we put that in our time, I said this would be a good thing. Here's a little homework assignment for you. Read that. Read Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19 today. Or this week, reflect on this. Reflect on that and put that in our time, in our day. What if that said, though the Dow Jones Industrial Average drop 15,000 points in one day, and there goes my 401k and my IRA, though I go to this super Walmart and there's nothing on the shelves, you fill in the blank. Though the worst case scenario imaginable happens, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. It's an act of the will. He chooses to do that. I will rejoice in the Lord because He is the God of my salvation. He has and will save him. He has and will save you and me. And in that, I will rejoice. Not only is He the God of my salvation, He gives me strength now then too to see me through it. He gives me feet like the deer. Feet like the deer. A deer, have you ever been like up on like mountain climbing or trails and it gets really, I know you have, Maureen. We were praying for you not to fall in Nepal. Fall in Nepal. I'm a poet and don't know it, right?
And I did pray that.
That's right. She had feet like a deer in Nepal when she was there. Security in the midst of perilous times, dangerous situations. But the deer's feet are secure. Our feet can be secure in the midst of such peril. So what? What do you want me to do? Well, again, I want to remind us, well, we will not, guarantee you, we will not always understand the ways of God now. By the way, if we could understand all of the ways of God, that would make us God, wouldn't it? But the last time I checked, none of us in this room were God. The Mormons think we're going to be God someday, right, Don? But we're not, and we never will be God. So while we will not always understand the ways of God now, He will ultimately prove Himself worthy of our faith and praise now. Do we understand all now? No. Is He worthy of our faith and praise now? Yes. Yes. The righteous shall live by faith. When we choose to live by faith, confidence and trust in God, in the character of God, and in the will and the purposes ultimately of God, when we orient our lives toward that, Live in the light of that. One Bible commentator, Ron Blue, said this. I like how he said it. Worry becomes what? Worship. Fear becomes what? Faith. Terror becomes trust. Anguish becomes adoration. Why becomes who? The righteous shall live by faith. I want to conclude our service today then by asking some questions about faith and then praying in faith. Are you living by faith? Confidence in God's character and ultimate purposes, no matter what? I know that's easier said than done, but the Word tells us. What is the alternative? What's the alternative to faith? Well, I don't know. That's hard to live by faith. Well, what's the alternative? Worry? Anxiety? Fear? Anguish? The righteous shall live by faith.